This title of the lesson this evening is a quote that a co-worker, when I was at American Airlines, Keith Caston was his name. His daughter was working at a bookstore. She's in college, and her job was working in a bookstore while she was at college. And this was a quote of hers: "Church and God is important to me." And why she said that was this: when she was there working at that bookstore, she was young, she's probably 20 years old, and had a guy coming around, had a crush on her, and was wanting to start dating her, and church and God was important to her, and it was important to their family, and they were faithful people. So I don't know if she felt kind of threatened or challenged, you know, in life, just, you know, young, fresh dating scene, and so this is what she told him just right up front. Said, "Church and God is important to me." And you know, I think that's a profound statement coming from a young person. There's a lot of things going through a lot of people's minds at that point that I think that this wouldn't be one. You know, ladies, when you're young and dating, a lot of times, you know, the way the world looks at it is this, is a lot of other things. There's a lot of other things running through their minds, but possibly not this. And I think we're going to look at some examples today of this subject: church and God is important to me. It's a few of the characters of the Bible that showed in their life that church and God was important to them. You know, it seems like in the recent weeks, a lot of surgeries, a lot of things going on, people's gone through. I know Becky, Zeebach family, Bonnie's mom, we just heard of Joanne. We've heard of a lot of people that just on the prayer list. Life just happens, doesn't it? There's things that go on that where we get pulled in this thing of life physically, where you get in pain and you have to have surgeries and health goals, and families get into these things. And you know, if you think about it and look at it, when you're there a lot of times in that surgery center and you sit down and you visit with people around you, you find out there's a lot of people in the same boat. I had a conversation with a young lady while Bonnie was with her mom at Fort Worth there. She was inside this area where you are starting to get on your loopy medicine, I guess. And while they were there, I was talking with a lady. Her dad was having hip surgery. This was a hip and knee replacement surgery center, and it was full. When we go on vacation, we talk to people, and we find out by talking to people, Bonnie, we have a system. Bonnie goes inside the shops, and I sit on the bench out front with the rest of the old men. And we visit and get to talking and things. Of course, when you talk with people, you find out a lot of stuff. And I was visiting with one young lady. I was telling Sean. She sat down. She had a boot up to here. And she wasn't that old. And I said, "My goodness, what happened?" We got to talking. "Well, I've got this going on, and my husband's worse than I am. He can't hardly get around. Hip replacement. And then my daughter just broke her back." And so you hear things, and then you're like, "Oh, my goodness, we're doing pretty good," when you hear stories like that. Then you hear something worse off. So this thing called life, when you're in that position, and I know you have pain, and I know you have times that it's a burden, and it makes us think about this right here, doesn't it? Church and God is important to me, because it will help us get us through those times. And I think this thing that this young lady quoted is a profound statement that we need to say in all of our lives, in all situations, when our loved ones are sick, whenever we have things that tempt us, when we have areas of our lives that's difficult. You've got to say to yourself, "Church and God is important to me." If we don't, we'll just get swallowed up in this thing called life here in this physical world. So let's look at some scriptures about this. Honoring Christ with worthwhile expectations. You know, when Paul made this statement here, I believe he was kind of doing what the young lady I just mentioned about that made that quote. This quote to me is profound. In Philippians 1 and 20, when we honor Christ with worthwhile expectations in our life. And he said this: "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul did this. He honored, didn't he? He honored Christ in his life. And I think this is what that young lady was doing too. She's saying, "Look, dude, I know you got a crush on me. If you want to hang out with me and date me, church and God is important to me." Right up front. Took courage. That was brave. Paul's doing the same thing. Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. So if we do that up front, predetermined in our lives, when we have things that's cramming down on us in this life, we're going to be able to take it. Honoring Christ with worthwhile expectations in our life. Paul was eager. Look at the words in the eager expectation and hope. And not ashamed that he's going to honor Christ. Some of the things, and I forgot to read it, that I want to get over in this lesson. It's not a long lesson, but it's kind of a focused lesson, I believe, is for us to look at on some scriptures. And I think the focused lesson of the point is, at the very beginning, these are things that I'd like for all of us to walk away thinking about today. And we'll mention it on a slide at the end also. Number one, honor Christ with worthwhile expectations. We just looked at that scripture. The next one, make decisions by faith. Number three, do not be indecisive. Don't sit on our haunches in our church life, in your spiritual life. Identify spiritual goals and put a time frame on it. The four things, you know, I think so many times that I personally, when I give a lesson, we get into a lot of material and you get in so much thought and you walk away like, what was that about? And I think for me today, I want to be simple and short in this lesson, four things we're going to concentrate on. We've looked at one already, honor Christ with worthwhile expectations. Are you doing that? Do you eagerly have worthwhile expectations of what you want to do in your life for Christ? Secondly, making decisions by faith. In Hebrews 11 and 6, I think this is a great example we can look at on someone making a decision by faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. We'll look at, in just a moment, we're going to look at faith for a moment in Hebrews 11 and 6, and we'll move down to Moses and the things that he did by making decisions in faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One thing I want to point out on this, yes, it does take faith, but one of the important things in this life, I think, when we get in these difficult times in our lives and we need that faith, is to remember the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. That we continue, that we work hard at it in difficult times, that we continue to be diligent. And that he is a rewarder. Brethren, we have a reward. I can remember some of my uncles. It was one of the best times in my life, I think, as a child. A lot of times they'd flip you a quarter and here, you go wash the car, you know, or whatever, give you a little job, 50 cents, and there's a reward there, wasn't it? It was nice. You knew it was coming. Well, how much more so in our spiritual life is that we diligently continue to work and do our job as a Christian, and we know that God is one who is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, the example of decisions by faith. You know, when we look at this as in our life as church and God is important to us, we're going to make decisions by faith. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters or daughter, choosing rather, here's the choice he had, the decision, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So when Moses was approached with living differently, he chose that. Think of the political power. Think of the recognition of what he would have been if he just held tight. Now, he chooses this. Hebrews 11, 26 and 27, a continuation of the scripture says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was a better reward. Maybe not in that lifetime, but a better reward later. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And notice this last part, as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing something that you just can't see, where faith really had to come into. So we see the example that Moses did for himself in this life that he had. A choice that he made because it was very important to him. Faithful decisions are recorded and rewarded. You know, I noticed something about people who really want to get something done in their day. A short-term goal or a mid-term or a long-term, it don't matter. They write it down. They record it. And so by writing it down, you have it there to remind, okay, mark that one off. mark that one off. And dad-in-law, he's the world's best at it. He'll write a list, and it has helped him through the years to have that list. So Bonnie knows what I'm talking about. He writes a list. And things that are recorded, you're like, it's down there. I can remember some of my math grades. I wish they wasn't recorded. But they're down there, and it's for everybody to see, isn't it? Well, here we find out in the scriptures that it's no different. So in Revelation 22 and 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, the reward we're talking about, and have been talking about, that we look up to, that we're hopeful for, to give to every man according as his work shall be. So when we think about that in our lives, how much more does it drive us to continue this thing that we know as life as a Christian, that we continue to walk hard times and good times, consistently walking and looking for that reward. Revelations 22, we're going to look at some other scriptures and revelations in just a short moment. But we can see here, talking about these works are recorded, written down. So if they're written down, God's a fair God. And it's a just God. And he will reward, and he will give us the reward to those who are going to be diligently seeking him. Indecision, the greatest thief of opportunities. You know, when you think about indecision, a lot of times people will call it procrastination. There's things that go on in your lives that gets in the way so much of us making decisions that we truly need to make. Revelations 3:15 through 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The word worked, just it should be. I'd rather you should be this way. You know, when we think about that scripture as a procrastination of just complacent, of just sitting there and not doing anything, it's neither cold or hot. And so when God is speaking these words, we find out the reason that he was speaking these words because there was a church named Laodicea who was neither cold or hot. They were complacent and times that they needed to repent. You look at the seven churches in the Bible and read about it in Revelations. When Jesus was talking about this to them, he would give them that a boy, and then he would talk to them about things they needed change and said, this ain't good. And we think about a church. What is the church? Church is the individual people that make that up. So the church at Laodicea had this thing going on of just not doing anything. So if there was a time that they needed to repent and they would not. And that Jesus is saying throughout that whole time, overcome, overcome, overcome. And that overcome was to repent. And we think about that in our lives, and what gets in the way of that, brethren, for you and I? What gets in the way of repentance? When you think about a church, things that you need to change, and the churches, the individuals that are there. And it's this. It's one is pride. We can look at that I don't need that. I don't have to have that. I can overcome that myself. When Jesus is saying overcome, well, how are you going to overcome that? You're going to go to God in prayer and repent, right? What's other things that get in the way of that? Really, of repentance. If you think that in your life and you just keep continuing to say, I am okay, to your mind, you're deceiving a lot of times yourself and myself. And we're not. And you know, the churches at the time, the seven churches there, some were getting the data boys, some were getting more so than others, and then some, not so many. When you think about the congregations at Wheeler, the congregations at Bridgeport, at Gunner, at Plainview, and these churches of Christ are made up of people, it's the same everywhere in all those churches and in this church. Is that repentance is so curing and helpful in our lives if we need it, but if we don't do it, we have become complacent. We become lukewarm. And it says here, God, I'm gonna spew you out of my mouth. It says that in this scripture. The greatest thief of opportunities for your spiritual life of not doing anything, indecision. So we've got to find out in all the things that we do that there has got to be action. When we read the words, we take those words, put it in our heart, and we take action and not be indecisive. Church involvement. You know, I think one of the things that we listed was church involvement as far as identify spiritual goals and put a time frame on it was the last thing, I believe. When you think about church involvement, and this is really a personal commitment lesson. It's a personal commitment lesson for all of us to strive to do the things better in our lives when it comes to church and God. This particular area is something that we all strive for, but many times find no time, find no money, find no energy, and we get complacent also in just being comfortable. But we've got to identify spiritual goals in our lives and time frames to put on it. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Brethren, we are living in a spiritual life in this world, no matter what all the world tells you, as physical of a life that it is and all the great things that it offers, the wonderful things, as a Christian, yes, we've got to live in it, but we've got to react to those things in a way that we can keep it out of the mind and live spiritually in this world. It is a spiritual life for the Christian in this world, not just physical. So if we decide to sow the Spirit and reap life everlasting, as we had talked earlier about those rewards, if we diligently continue to do that, we find out that we will be pleasing in God and working as a servant to Christ. Here's the rest of that. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, I think this is the time frame that we can put on. In due season, when we do those things, as a church and as individuals that make up the church, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of the faith. So when we get involved in our life, so many of the times that, and we want to pull back and get in that shell and separate ourselves from the world, we can't do it. It's just a thing that we as Christians will deal with and continue to do the work of the Christian. We have to. When we get tired, when we have no energy, when we get stressed from kids in school, when we get stressed from family, when we get stressed from work, when we get stressed from this and that, I don't know about you, but there's been times that I'll get reserved and I'll pull back and I really don't get anything done. My energy level goes down and I'm just like, whatever. I'm going to get in this little cocoon and pull a blanket around me and call it good. Really, that's wrong. And it's not a life that we are to live. Church involvement, when we can identify spiritual goals and put a time frame on it, it can be a time frame. Take it simple. Be at church, as David brought out in a great lesson, be at church. We can do that. That's identifying a spiritual goal. Time limit is whenever it starts. Look at a mid goal. Go visit somebody here at the hospitals or the home. People we know as shut-ins. I mean, there's on and on and on and on that we can count on all of our fingers of things that we can do that you personally can do, or if you want to get with other people to do. There's things as far as spiritual goals that you can do in your life. Some of the spiritual goals that we know that we are to do is just, as we were mentioning earlier, that Laodicea didn't do. If there's one here today that needs the prayers of the church and you need to overcome, we need to do that. As we offer the invitation, we're going to look at this one more time. That was the title, and this is the personal commitment that we all need to try and strive to make. Honor Christ with worthwhile expectations in our life. Make decisions by faith. James talks about it over and over again. Don't just say you're going to do something and not do it. We have to take action. Faith and works. Do not be indecisive. When we decide to say something to someone and we tell them we're going to do it, we need to do it, and we need to make decisions to do these things and identify spiritual goals and time frames. Something that we all can do is just put a time frame on it and get her done.